Hey, welcome to another episode of The Breakdown. It's Nick and I back at it again.
Here we go. Another week, another pod.
Yep.
Excited about it.
This was another one of the one-off series. Last week we talked about the authentic gospel, and this week we'll talk about divided loyalties that fight for godliness versus worldly matters. And so before we get into that, you asked a question at the beginning of your sermon about what motivates people, how we are motivated as humans. So I thought I'd ask you that question, but specifically, what movies or speeches, like parts of movies, have motivated you? And so I started thinking about this. And, we watched a lot of movies together growing up. And so everything was edited. So I believe that this is a clean example.
Okay.
And forgive me if it's not, but I believe it is.
We'll forgive you.
Cool Runnings.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Whenever he takes the guy into the bathroom and he's like, I see pride, power, and he's trying to amp this guy up because this guy thinks nothing of himself.
Yeah.
That always amped me up as a kid. I don't know. It's something about Cool Runnings.
I saw that movie, but I don't remember any of it.
Oh, okay.
But
well, I watched a lot. Okay. Cool Runnings was my...
That was your jam.
Yeah, huh? My dad loved it. It's just such a different movie about this Jamaican bobsled team.
Right.
And so it's a very motivational movie in and of itself. So as a kid, man, I thought that was so cool. It's
like, that was a good movie.
Yeah.
So mine would be two all-time classic movies, two all-time classic moments in those movies. So Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, right?
Of course.
And the whole, you know, Theoden is riding down the line, and I think it's Theoden, and he's hitting the swords.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I know that Aragorn is there too, but Theoden's riding, with, and he's getting all of them fired up. And they go, you know, he gives them the whole speech, ride now, ride to ruin, right?
Yeah.
And then he says some other stuff that I can't remember. So that's one of the all-timers, right?
I was trying not to be too nerdy this podcast.
I don't care. I'm a Lord of the Rings nerd. If that doesn't get you, like, the goosebumps, then nothing will. The other one is Braveheart, right?
Yeah,
Braveheart and the whole freedom thing.
Yeah.
Those are some of the all-timers for me. Also, I can give you a third one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So Saving Private Ryan,
ooh,
the earn this speech at the end from Tom Hanks' character to Matt Damon's character, and then that flashes forward to Matt Damon's character as an old man standing there where he asks his wife, Was I a good man? Did I earn this? Something like that. So those are good smokes, right?
Yeah.
Three all-timers.
I feel like one that we watched anytime our teacher was out in high school, they just popped in Remember the Titans.
Okay.
Like that was the go-to movie for subs when I was in high school. We watched a lot of Remember the Titans, and I think that was another memorable one that motivated me. But yeah, movies motivate us. Music motivates us.
Sure.
But one of the things as Christians Paul reminds us of is that God should be our ultimate motivation for everything.
Right.
And so really kind of give us a flyover of what you preached on this Sunday.
Yeah, at the heart of it is, you know, are we motivated by the right things? Are we motivated? And this week was really about mindset. I said it multiple times. This is not a message about money. This is a message about mindset. And I had to clarify that because we talked a little bit about money, but look, this message really wasn't about money at all.
Yeah.
This is about what kind of mindset do you have? And Jesus teaches us the kind of mindset we should have. This is a basic of the Christian faith. Like, I have a godly mindset or I have a worldly mindset. And the truth of the matter is we probably have a little of both if we're being honest with ourselves. And it varies, right? From day to day, time to time, hour to hour. At the heart of the question for every believer that I talked about in this message is, will we be conformed or transformed? Are we going to be conformed to the world and worldly ways and worldly thinking? Because that's the wrong mindset, right? But it is a mindset.
Yeah.
Or are we going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind in Christ, which changes our mind, right? Changes our mindset. And conforms us or transforms us then in that way to be more like Jesus. So that's the heart. That's what the message is about.
And you get that idea from Romans 12 too, that says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, pleasing, and perfect will.
That's right.
Paul, at the beginning of Romans, lays out quite emphatically how we, without God, are nothing, that we are people in need of a Savior. And so for him to say, hey, the way of the world is not the answer. It's not going to save you. But knowing who God is, being transformed by him, will show you his will, which is a question that we often get is, what is the will of God for my life? Yeah. How do I know the will of God? And oftentimes, it's easy. Yeah. Or the answer is easy. It's to obey him.
Yeah.
It's to proclaim who he is.
Right.
And in obedience, through knowing God's word, through living that out, we are living in the will of God.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what job you have.
No.
Doesn't matter what college you go to. God will use whatever choice that is to, if we're obeying him and how he's taught us to live, then those things, we have freedom in those things.
Well, all the time that you spend worrying about, you know, what's God's will and what's the right path and what direction should I take? And, you know, we talk about a lot about that and we talk about those feelings. Have you prayed about it more than you've worried about it? Mm. Have you consulted the word of God about it? Because you're like, God, why won't you show me what to do? And he's like, oh, I wrote it down for you, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm leading you and I'm trying to tell you, but you aren't listening. Mm. So those two core biblical, like Christian fundamentals, very underrated.
Yeah.
Just open your Bible, right? Read it. Oh, well, Nick, I don't know where to look. Okay, Google the thing you're concerned about or worrying about and say, scripture's about this. Mm. And I mean, look, for all of the tech world's faults, Google's a really great way, or DuckDuckGo, use whatever you want.
Or ChatGPT.
Or ChatGPT or Bard or any of these things. I mean, there's no shortage of ways to search for a thing, right? It will show you and tell you scriptures based around that theme or that idea. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to find those things, right? You just have to be like, have rudimentary knowledge of how the internet works.
Yeah, and I did that this week. I heard a song that talked about joy, and in my community meditation, I talked about it. I went in my Bible app and typed in joy.
Right.
And all these commentaries and definition of the word and how it's used in Old and New Testament was right there at my fingertips. So,
right.
Yes, we want to be transformed by the word of God, and so we need to use it, read it, pray to God. Your first point here, we talked about treasure and being, is your treasure your master? What you're, what you're aiming, what you're storing up, is that become your master? And you got this idea from Matthew 6, 19 through 24, and I won't read all of it, but Jesus is talking about what are we storing up on earth? Because those things won't last, right?
Yeah.
Talks about moth and rust destroying it, thieves coming in and stealing it. And you painted that picture for us that those things that we store up in here are one day will perish.
Right. But that's all mindset though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that really still comes back to mindset. Is my mindset putting my stock in things of the world that are not going to last, which is a worldly mindset, right, at its foundation. And it's a failing, flawed mindset. Because it won't last, it won't persevere, it won't hold up under stress or trial or thievery or anything else, ultimately. Again, the sermon's not about money, it's about motivation, right? And or mindset. And so the mindset has to be more like Christ. How do we find it? Well, we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, what do we need to be learning? Well, Jesus taught you and told you right here, right in these verses, about the having the right mindset that's not storing up our trust and our hope in worldly things, but in the things of God.
Yeah, yeah. And then he goes on to talk about no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And so we have a choice.
Yeah.
We have a choice of which master we serve. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, we could serve the things of this earth, whether that's earthly possessions, whether that's fame, whether that's priority in our jobs. We can chase those things. Mm-hmm. But really what matters, the master we should serve is God, because the things of God, and I like that you said, those things will not perish.
Right.
Those things will be eternal.
Yeah.
Those are the things that how Jesus's character was and who he was, when we mimic that, when we learn to be that, those are the things that that we will be in heaven.
And nobody can take those eternal things away from you, right? Yeah. And it's important that we clarify the translations, right, on this. It says you cannot serve both God and money. Yeah. I really believe the better translation of money there is mammon, because that's an all-encompassing word for worldly things.
Yeah.
That's really a better translation, in my opinion, from the Greek. Now, you know, smarter people than me decided to translate it money, but it's also translated in some translations as mammon.
Yeah.
I think that's a more authentic translation to what we find in the original writing, in the original Greek. And I believe in what Jesus was trying to convey, it's a better word because it really encompasses the totality of the wrong mindset.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because this is, you know, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. And what his, at the basis of all his teaching was, this is a heart issue.
Yes.
Or like we were saying, this is a mindset issue of the choice of following Christ or not.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's not about money at all. It is. It just means that you need to have a bigger word. Because otherwise we would just say, well, you know, if I get the money thing right, then I'm good. Well, no, there's more to it than that.
Yeah. So. And you talked about the mindset. How do we go about living out a mindset for Christ? And you talk about, we tend to look at materialism and greed on this sliding scale.
Yeah.
Like that isn't, it's not really a big issue.
Right.
You called it, I think you called it a white sin.
Yeah, little white sin.
It's, it's not weighty.
Right.
And so we as believers have to come to an acknowledgement that all of our life should be under the lordship of Christ. So it doesn't matter if it's little or big in our eyes,
right,
it still needs to be given to Christ.
Yeah, I said that I've had a lot of people over 25 years confess a lot of things that they were sinning in, challenged with, broken by, you know, sitting across the desk, tears in their eyes, you know, lack of faithfulness or stealing or lying or cheating. I've never had anybody sit down across from me and say, I'm really struggling with greed or I'm really greedy. That's never happened, you know, because people just, they kind of discount it. They discount it as a problem. And Jesus didn't seem to discount it as a problem. I believe he expected us to be, you know, to live with a mindset, not, again, a mindset of heaven and not a mindset of worldly possessions and putting our stock in worldly things.
So how do we know? I feel like the question of the sermon would be, how do we know that we have that kind of mindset? How do we know that our mindset's not in Christ? And maybe it doesn't have to be particularly with money, but in really in every area of our life. How do we make sure? How do we stand firm in that?
Right. Well, you're asking the right question, and I talked about it in the sermon, of course, because I said ask the difficult questions of yourself and the fundamental parts that ask the questions of the fundamental things that make you you. Time, talent, treasure, right? The things that make up how you live out your life, right? That doesn't necessarily fundamentally define you as a person, but it does define what you do, right? Your time, your talent, your treasure. How are you using those things? In what percentage of those things are dedicated to the things of God? And what percentage would you say are dedicated to things that really don't necessarily have anything to do with the Lord and his church, at least not very directly, you know? And that really helps to answer a lot of the questions of, hey, you know, 95% or 98% of my possessions or what God has given me, that really goes to serve me and mine. Then that's an answer to the question, right? Yeah. May not be the answer you want to hear, but it's the answer that you need to be honest with yourself about. When you think about your time of chasing your kids around to different ball fields or travel sports, or you think about your own, you know, sports that you're into and going to games and watching games on TV and, you know, dedicated to your favorite show like Survivor or whatever it is that you're really into, you know, you'd never miss that and you prioritize your time around it. Well, that tells you some things. And look, all those things inherently aren't bad.
Yeah.
They're only bad when they become idols.
And you know? So the way that I'm thinking about this is, okay, so how do we take those things and make them or use them for the glory of God? Yeah. So let's just take, we have a house.
Yep.
All right. God's blessed us with a place to live, room. So how can I, as a believer, use that blessing to bless others? Well, I can invite people over.
Absolutely.
I can be hospitable.
Hospitality. Yeah.
That's a talent and also a blessing to others. That can draw people towards Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about going to ball games. We're not saying take your kids out of sports. Sports are inherently good.
No, there's nothing wrong
with it. We like sports. What are you doing at those sports games? Yeah, how are you reflecting Christ there?
See it as a mission field,
yeah.
Right?
You sit next to people.
It's great.
Yeah.
And look, here's the thing. My kids are getting older, and they're not really involved in sports anymore. We miss that mission field. We miss those opportunities that we had to build those relationships. When you're younger and you have kids, it's a crazy time. Like, yeah. I, you know, been there, done that, I know it, right? And at the same time, it's also where you will likely find your greatest effectiveness as an evangelist, as a missionary, because you are making connections with people partially because of your stage of life. Kids are the same age, similar interests, similar, you know, maybe even economically you're in the same kind of, you know, general boat, and so you might do the same kinds of things or be interested in the same kinds of entertainment. Natural relationship building stuff, right? And we're not just making friends so that we can tell people about Jesus. We're making authentic friends, but we're not forgetting to tell them about how much we love Jesus and what he's done for us. That's how we become missionaries in the field where God has planted us.
I always think whenever I was working in youth ministry, kids would be like, so what I do, like just go up to people and talk about Jesus? I was like, yeah, that's one way.
Yeah.
But there are also others where you cultivate a relationship. Yes. You get to know that person. You meet them where they are. And wherever they are, you speak life into them and use scripture and point them to Jesus. Absolutely. And you can do that. And kids, we're in that lifespan of young kids. And so when we go to the park, my kids are playing with other people's kids.
Exactly.
Accidents happen. You're talking to the parent, trying to figure things out. It's super. I wouldn't say it's easy. It's easier to make those connections.
It's more natural.
It is.
Know? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the hardest things about evangelism is finding a crack, an open door, right? Because you know you can't go door to door in people's houses now. Yeah. Not these days. I mean, pretty much that's a bad idea, right? But when you are out there and you're building natural relationships with people, that's where sharing an authentic relationship happens. Yeah. And when authentic relationship happens, it's what you just described. When a person does finally trust you because you do genuinely love and care about them and want to know them, not again, you're not just trying to make the relationship so you can tick a box, right? Once you've done that, God will absolutely open doors for you to say, I'm so sorry you're struggling with that. Do you know that I've absolutely struggled with something similar in my life? And I'm going to tell you the thing that helped me. It was having faith. It was knowing Jesus. He helped me not just in my emotions between he and I, but he put people in my life in the church that surrounded me, encouraged me, walked with me through that time in my life. It made a big difference, right? That's like so natural. That doesn't have to be awkward. That doesn't have to be weird. You know, you don't have to put on a Jesus freak t-shirt to do that. You can just be you and have a natural conversation. And I think that sometimes people, you know, sometimes we make it way more convoluted or complicated than it is.
I don't know if you hit on this in your sermon.
Okay.
I may have.
You might have been writing your own sermon while I was talking.
It happens
sometimes.
Once you started talking about mammon, my mind reeled because I was wondering if you were going to mention that.
Okay.
Because if you didn't, I was going to mention it on the podcast.
Good.
But you hit it. One of the books you had in your notes was one of my favorites, was The Celebration of Discipline by Foster.
Yeah, Foster.
And so the reason I'm going here is because there are often times in our lives where we give an area to God, but we have to protect that area.
Mm.
It's a fight to not slide back into the worldly standards of this or this. And so really the celebration of discipline gives guidelines or habits to have to stay in the Word of God or to stay in that lordship of whatever area of that life is. And I just want to list a couple because I think he does a great job in that book. I highly recommend it. First one is solitude. Mm-hmm. And we see Jesus replicate all these. Silence, fasting, study, worship, prayer, guidance, service, fellowship, and celebration. And so by practicing these things, it aligns us with the right mindset to have for every area of life.
Yeah, I cut that because of time. I couldn't get to it.
Just making sure I wasn't crazy.
It's great for a plus part of the podcast. I mean, this is a perfect kind of thing for a podcast because pointing people to that book and pointing to them to those 10 disciplines, that's a really great, like, here's some bonus work. You know, here's some very practical, here's what you do to apply some of the things we talked about. The reason I cut it is because I was trying to keep it a little more simple, right? Yeah. We're trying to keep this idea around the mindset issue and the transformed or conformed, which are you going to end up being, right? So that's kind of why I did, you know, here's a preacher's mindset of how do you work through that, and you're making a decision on the fly. Well, that was a decision I made on the fly. So we'll believe it was the Holy Spirit.
But these things help transform you into having that right mindset.
That takes what we talked about to another level. So especially for those of you that are listening or watching and you're mature, you know, you've moved on to the eating meat phase of your spiritual life. You know, you've been walking with Jesus for a long time and long since left the, you know, the milk phase. Those are great. That book would be a great way to work on some things.
It's challenging.
To another level.
It really is. I mean, you get into things that we don't naturally do, like fasting and silence.
Yes.
I mean, that I've noticed over the last year, just me and myself, is that I am a big listener of podcasts and I always want something on. Mm. For me to sit in silence is hard for me. I like to think, but that silence puts you in a place of vulnerability. Yeah. And I've seen myself struggle with that. And so this book really challenged me when we read it. I read it recently. It's fantastic. And I would encourage people to read it. But it kind of helps you get into the mindset of, all right, every area of life is supposed to be under God. I need to keep this. It helps focus you on those things to not be kind of wishy-washy with, all right, am I being conformed or transformed? These things will allow you to stay in that mindset of being transformed by Christ.
No doubt.
Absolutely. Anything you'd like to add that you didn't get to say in your sermon?
No, I think we got to it. I was, again, trying to make it all work within the timely fashion, but got to the fundamental things we really wanted to address and felt good about pointing us towards those mindsets that Jesus was pointing us towards. Yeah. So that we might leave a worldly mindset and take up a godly mindset, that we would examine our time, our talent, our treasure, think about where we are and how we're using that to the glory of God and His kingdom, and then think about it, what am I going to do? Am I going to be transformed or conformed? Mm. And if I will be conformed, Paul taught us there in Romans that it is then that we will be able to know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will for our lives. Mm. But we better get conformed. And not get transformed and not conformed. I did that on Sunday morning too. Those are easy words to mix up, but you know what I meant.
Absolutely. So, what you looking forward to, man?
Looking forward to vacation.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
You need
y'all.
A brain break.
See you later. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I'm a couple of weeks ahead in writing in our new Moses series. Brian's going to kick that off this week, and he'll do an excellent job as he always does. He's going to kick our series off. It's talking about going into the unknown and really exploring Moses' story. It'll have a lot of good things, a lot of good practical things for us when, you know, we all have a lot of those same feelings that Moses did, feeling like we aren't enough. Yeah. God, how can you use me? How am I going to lead these people that you're expecting me to lead in my life, my family, my work, my school? Hey, Moses' story should speak to you then, right? Because he felt a lot of those same things. So I'm a little bit ahead, right? But at the same time, the brain is melting out the ears, right? Sometimes you can start to feel like a sermon factory. So I'm looking forward to a week with the family, a little quiet at the beach, toes in the sand, and it's going to be nice. How about you, man?
Awesome. And tomorrow, June 1st, we get to find out if the baby's a boy or a girl.
I knew it was coming.
So we're excited. That's tomorrow. We're recording on Wednesday. So I'm excited about that and great. Just getting our minds ready for that newborn stage. At the end of the month, we're going to take some time off and go back to Louisiana before we have the baby, because then it'll be a little while. But
you'll text the staff group thread, yeah?
And sure.
Let us know?
Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow afternoon. Okay. So,
or you can tell us in person, too, if you want. Whatever cool. You feel good. As long as we know.
So. I'll bring one of those those things that they pop in the blue smoke or something comes
my
up.
Bet's on boy.
I hope so. That's what, but I just want a healthy baby.
Absolutely.
I mean, either praise way, I'm excited. I have two girls. Yep. And another one.
It'll be great. Could it be? Listen, so. What's one more?
Yep. But we're excited. So that's what we're looking forward to.
Awesome, brother. Enjoyed it, man.
Yeah, same here. If you made it this far in the podcast, we appreciate you. And we'll see you guys next week with Brian.
Yep. See you.
Later.